Lawrence, you mean to combine the next three Sampson Resources cases?
Yes.
Okay. We will combine the next three cases for the purposes of hearing. They are cases 9344, 9192, and 9047. They all involve Sampson Resources. 9344 seeks an order to amend commission rules to create two 640-acre drilling units, sections 15 and 22, 16297 Divide County. 9192 is a temporary spacing for a well in section 25, 16399 Divide County. In case 9047, it's a temporary spacing for a well in section 14, 16198 Divide County. All parties interested, please come forward.
Mr. Examiner, Lawrence Bender, P.O. Box 400, Bismarck, North Dakota, appearing in case 9344, 9192, and 9047 on behalf of Sampson Resources Company. We intend to call three witnesses. Just a moment, you guys.
Hi.
We intend to call three witnesses, Mr.
Hello?
Examiner. Yes, we're here. Just give us a moment, Steve.
Okay.
In these matters by telephone, the first witness will be in the area of land, Mr. Steve Stacy. The second will be a geologic witness, Ken Tompkins. And the third will be an engineering witness, Eric Brosha. And the first witness will be in the area of land.
Mr. Stacy, are you on the phone?
Yes.
Do you promise to tell the truth in these cases? Do you promise to tell the truth in these cases?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
I'm handing out the exhibits.
Here it says, "This covers activities involved."
No, I've got an extra.
You
can have it. Mr. Examiner, as I've indicated, we're going to call three witnesses in these consolidated matters. The first is in the area of land. Has Mr. Stacy been sworn?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Steve, would you state your full name for the record, please?
Steve Stacy.
And Steve, spell your last name, please.
S-T-A-C-Y.
And by whom are you employed and in what capacity?
Sampson Resources Company, land manager.
And in that capacity, have you testified before the commission previously?
Yes.
And have you had your qualifications accepted as that of an expert?
Yes.
And in preparation for today's hearings, have you made a thorough study and review of all the relevant land matters?
Yes.
And have you prepared or have prepared under your control and supervision certain exhibits you intend to sponsor?
Yes.
And have you satisfied yourself as to the accuracy of those exhibits?
Yes.
Mr. Examiner, we'd offer the further testimony of this witness that of an expert.
Motion granted.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Examiner. Steve, let's turn to the packet of exhibits for case 9344, 9192, and 9047. Let's turn first to what's been marked as Exhibit 1. Tell us what Exhibit 1 is.
Exhibit 1 is just a regional location map showing the three different case numbers in Divide County.
Okay. And the area where they're located, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And then let's go on to Exhibit 2. Tell us what Exhibit 2 is.
Exhibit 2 is a another location map for the case number 9344, showing sections 15 and 22 of Township 16297.
And in this particular application, you're requesting that the commission create two 640-acre drilling units. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And the reason you're before the commission with this request is that sections 15 and 22 were previously established as a 1,280-acre drilling unit. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so the purpose here is to basically change the 1280 back to 640s. Is that correct?
Correct. Correct.
And the next exhibit, then, Exhibit 3, tell us what that is.
That is another location map for case number 9192. It shows in pink sections 25 and 36 of 16399, as are Strom 2536, 16399H well, and then the green sections are the four offsetting sections where we're showing for 640-acre temporary spacing.
And case number 9192 was docketed by the commission to establish temporary spacing for the Strom 25-36 well, is that correct?
That's correct.
So in conjunction with the temporary spacing of that well, which will be spaced, or which the request will be to space on one well to 1280, you're also requesting that four additional sections be included within the spaced area and allow for the drilling of wells on one well to 640 acres, is that correct?
That's correct.
So you'll basically, if the request is granted, you'll have two zones of spacing in this newly discovered pool, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go on then to the next exhibit, Exhibit 4. Tell us what that is.
Exhibit 4 is for the Nordstog 1423-16198H well, which is located in sections 14 and 23 of Township 16198. And like the Strom temporary spacing, it is a 1,280-acre temporary spacing for our Nordstog well, and then we have added four additional sections on 640s in green.
And just one point of clarification, Steve. Really, the case number 9344, the first case you discussed, is really a companion case with respect to this case because 15 and 22 offset your Nordstog well. Is that correct?
No.
I'm sorry.
Those are two different townships.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Thank you for the correction.
Yep.
All right. But as you pointed out, the request here is for 1,280-acre spacing for the Nordstog, and then if the commission is willing to grant the request, it would be to add an additional four sections and allow 640-acre spacing.
That's correct.
Okay. Let's go on to Exhibit 5, then, and quickly discuss that exhibit.
Okay. Exhibit number 5 is going to case number 9344, and it's just showing Section 15, the ownership. It's Samson 50%, Mammoth 50%, and Mammoth is a partner of Samson.
Okay, and 22? Excuse me, Exhibit 6?
Say that again?
Exhibit 6?
Yeah, Exhibit 6 is just showing Section 22 of 16297, where Samson and Mammoth own 50% each.
And Exhibit 7?
Exhibit 7 is a sections 25 and 36 for the Samson Strom well, and it shows the ownership of the 1,200-acre unit of Samson and Mammoth, 50% each, and it just shows the various expiration dates within the tracts.
And then finally, Exhibit 8.
Exhibit 8 is a land plat showing our Nordstog well, sections 24 and 23, and the working interest in the spacing unit is Samson at 77.93 and Mammoth at 22.07.
So all the questions I have for the land witness.
Questions for Mr. Stacy?
Yes.
There appear to be none.
Okay.
Your next witness is Mr. Tompkins?
Yes.
Mr. Tompkins, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Do you promise to tell the truth in these cases?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Ken, please state your full name for the record and spell your last name.
My name is Ken Tompkins, spelled T-O-M-P-K-I-N-S.
And Ken, by whom are you employed in what capacity?
Samson Resources as a geologist.
And in that capacity, have you testified before the commission previously?
Yes, I have.
Have you had your qualifications accepted as that of an expert?
Yes.
And in preparation for today's cases, have you made a thorough study and review of all the relevant geologic matters?
Yes.
And have you prepared exhibits you intend to sponsor?
Yes.
We'd offer to further testimony of this witness out of an expert.
Motion granted.
Ken, let's turn to Exhibit 9 in the packet of exhibits that Steve started talking about. Identify Exhibit 9, please, and then briefly discuss what's contained on the exhibit.
Okay. Before we start, I'd like to mention that the well spots on the exhibits that I'll be showing do not have the well names on them because of space problems. If anybody needs to refer to the well names, they're actually on exhibits 2, 3, and 4. They're the same maps, just with the well names on them. Exhibit 9 is a structure map showing the relationship between the structure of the Bakken Formation and the two drilling units, 640-acre drilling units we've identified, sections 15 and 22, 162 north, 97 west. Structure contours here are shown in 50-foot increments and showing gentle dip of less than 1 degree to the south-southwest. Surface locations of the wells planned for these two drilling units are going to be in the southeast of 15 and the northeast of 22. These will be single lateral well configurations in Sanish with bottom hole locations in the northwest quarter of section 15 and southwest of 22. As you mentioned earlier, the two sections were previously spaced or approved as a 1280 drilling unit, and we had a coplanar dual lateral well configuration plan for this spacing unit. We've since decided that the coplanar configuration is not economic, it is not cost effective, and you'll be hearing more about this in the reservoir engineering discussion.
Okay, let's go on to the next exhibit, exhibit 10. Tell us what that is.
Okay. Exhibit 10 is the type log for the previous exhibit. It's the Anschutz number 13-2 teal well in section 2 of 161 north, 97 west. And this is a composite log display showing gamma ray resistivity on the left, gamma ray neutron density in the middle, and mud log on the right. All of the members of the Bakken reservoir are listed on the right hand side, and we have a color code that kind of defines these just for visual purposes. And starting from the top, the Bakken shale is colored in gray. The upper middle Bakken is colored in purple. The Banff sand is colored in yellow. This is the typical target of most operators out in this part of the basin. The lower middle Bakken is in blue. The lower Bakken shale is in gray. And below that is the Sanish in purple, which is our target zone for the proposed drilling units.
All right, then let's go to the Exhibit 11, which is for the next case, 9192. Why don't you tell us what that is?
Okay. Exhibit 11 is, again, a structure map showing the structural relationship between the Bakken Formation and our proposed 1,280-acre spacing unit in Section 25 and 36 of 163 North, 99 West. Again, the structure contours are 50-foot increments, showing gentle dip to the south at less than 1 degree of dip. The surface location for the Strom well in our temporary spacing unit is in the southeast of 25. It's highlighted with a red symbol, denotes it as a Bakken reservoir producer, even though it's drilled in the Sanish. The two red lines emanating from the surface location are the actual well paths of the two laterals. This was a coplanar dual lateral configuration. The wells to the north that have blue circles on them are actual Dupro producers. There's no other Bakken production in this area.
And the areas in green offsetting your proposed 1,280-acre temporary spacing unit, those are areas you're requesting to be included in the field, but that the commission establish a zone of 640-acre spacing. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And do you believe if wells are drilled and completed in the area you have depicted in green on Exhibit 11, that those wells will produce from the same common source supply as the well on the 1,280-acre spacing unit comprised of 25 and 36?
Yes, we believe the Bakken reservoirs continue beneath all this acreage.
Okay. Let's go on to Exhibit 12, then. Ken, tell us what that is.
Exhibit 12 is the type log for the previous exhibit. It's located in Section 26 of 163 North, 99 West. It's the Conoco number 2-26 wind faldet. And again, we have a composite log display similar to the previous display. The nomenclature is the same, the coloration is the same. Again, the target zone for the Strom well was the Sanish. It's highlighted purple with the base of the log.
All right, let's go on to the next case then, the geologic exhibits for that temporary spacing matter. Exhibit 13, tell us what that is.
Okay. Exhibit 13, again, is another structure map showing the structural relationship between the Bakken Formation and our proposed 1,280-acre temporary spacing unit in sections 14 and 23 of 161 North, 98 West. The well that's shown in that proposed unit, proposed spacing unit, is the Sanson Resources Nordstog 14-23-161-98H. The surface locations in the southeast of 14. Again, the red lines are the actual well paths of the coplanar dual lateral well configuration that we drilled in that well.
And the green areas are the areas you're requesting to be included within this field boundary, is that correct?
That's correct.
And as in the previous case, you're requesting that those areas in green be established as a zone of separate spacing of one horizontal well to 640, is that correct?
That's correct.
And if wells are drilled in and under the area depicted in green, do you believe it will produce from the same common source supply as the horizontal dual lateral well in 14 and 23?
Yes, I do.
And as in the previous case, the engineering witness is going to go into further detail with respect to why Sampson has made a determination that these wells should, in the future, should be drilled on 640 rather than 1280. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, let's go to Exhibit 14.
Okay, Exhibit 14 is another type log generated from the actual Nordstog well itself. We actually logged the a vertical pilot hole in that log, in that well. Again, the members of the Bakken Reservoir are listed on the right-hand side. And the case of the Nordstog, this well was actually drilled in the Banff Sand. It was not drilled in the Sanish, the yellow zone on the type log. The green 640 drilling units will probably be in the Sanish, in the purple zone at the base of the log.
I have no further questions for Mr. Tompkins.
Yeah. Are there any staff questions?
Ken, this is Bruce Junker. Is there a geologic reason for changing from dual lateral coplanar to your single lateral 640-acre plan?
No, there's not a geological reason. We're able to stay in zone pretty well in both the Banff and the Sanish. We do seem to see a little bit better permeability in the Sanish, a little bit higher oil saturation, we think. We don't have a lot of data to support that, but that's our thoughts.
I noticed on your type log on Exhibit 10, it appears that the Three Forks Sanish, your target zone is more dolomitic, and that type log is south of your proposed well. Do you expect to encounter more siltstone, sandstone lithology in that zone?
You know, we get a wide variety of lithologies in the Sanish. We get dolomitic sandstones, we get clean sandstones, we get in some cases just a gray shale. So it's a wide variety. It's a very complicated nearshore environment, kind of an intertidal mudflat environment that gives us a wide variety. So we can't really hang our hat on one particular lithology.
So you're looking for both intergranular porosity and fracture porosity?
We're looking for both. Yes, we've not been able to identify much in the way of fracture porosity.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Ken, this is Lynn Helms. With you targeting the Sanish sand below the lower Bakken shale, will the usual Bakken pool definition of 50 feet below the bottom of the lower shale cover the entire pool that you're going to drain?
My opinion is that it does. Our hydraulic fractures probably tend to grow upward, up into the lower Bakken shale and probably the middle Bakken. So I think we're accessing quite a bit of the actual Bakken Reservoir as it's defined by the NDIC.
Thank you.
Ken, this is Bruce Hicks. The lower Bakken Shale probably is already fractured. I was curious if you are going to have any communication from your Sanish wells with the Middle Bakken itself.
We probably do have communication with both, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Is your next witness Mr. Brosha?
Yes.
Mr. Brosha, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Do you promise to tell the truth in these cases?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Eric, state your full name for the record, please, and spell your last name.
Eric Brosha, B-R-O-A-C-H-A.
And Eric, by whom are you employed and what capacity?
I'm employed by Sampson Resources Company here in Denver as a district engineer.
And you've testified before the commission previously and had your qualifications accepted as that of an expert, is that correct?
That is correct.
And you've prepared certain exhibits that you intend to sponsor here today, is that correct?
That is correct.
We'd offer the further testimony of this witness out of an expert.
Motion granted.
Eric, let's go to Exhibit 15. Tell us what that is.
I have two corrections on Exhibit 15. The well name, it should read Winstat 15-162-97H. The well name shown is the old well name when it was on the 1280 spacing unit. And the setbacks that I have identified here as 660 should read 500. But what this shows is this shows the well configuration on our proposed 640-acre temporary drill spacing unit with the surface location in the lower southeastern quarter section and the bottom hole target location in the northwest location of section 15.
Okay, and Exhibit 16.
Exhibit 16 shows the proposed well bore diagram of the Winstat 15-162-97H, showing that we will basically drill a 9 5/8 surface casing drill, an 8 3/4 hole set 7-inch casing approximately 500 feet into the lateral, and have an open hole lateral of about 5,800 feet to complete in the Sanish sand.
Okay, and 17.
17 is a summary of estimated Bakken reservoir properties that we have collected from the basin, and the estimated single well economics for this well. In going over the reservoir properties, it shows that our estimated true vertical depth of our lateral will be about 82-99 feet. We're predicting to have approximately 17 feet of thickness in the pay zone, lateral length of about 58-67. That is just the open hole part of the lateral. The actual total TD of the lateral will be 13,974 feet. We're estimating 6% porosity, 28% water saturation. We're going to have to stimulate the lateral. Current stimulation practices are with a gelled oil and sand frack. Estimated 30-day IP will be 200 barrels of oil a day, 50 water, and approximately 240 MCFD. We've tested the oil, and most of it's averaging about 42 gravity API. Bottom hole temperature is estimated 200 degrees. Bottom hole pressure 4216. That gives you a formation volume factor of about 1.64. And our current initial GORs are about 1200 SCF per barrel. With that data, we estimate that for the 640 acres, we'll have about 2.2 million barrels in place with a 10% recovery factor, or an EUR of about 223,000 barrels of oil and 332 MCF. Now, using those numbers under the economics, you can see that our operating costs are running $5,400 a month. Royalties are 15.5%. The average oil price that we're getting right now up in North Dakota is about $47.50 a barrel. Gas is $7.45. So you can see that gives us the next sales of $13 million. Your severance tax, your operating cost, your investment for the well to drill a single lateral is costing $4.2 million. So that should give us a return on investment of about 2.1 or a discounted return of 1.35, predicting a 30-year well life.
Eric, why don't you, before we move on, why don't you just take a moment to discuss for the commission staff the reason Samson has decided to go from dual lateral 1280 spacing or drilling units or drilling to 640-acre spacing.
Okay. Well, let me say first that this is not, this may not be our permanent solution. Right now, we are going to 600, or we're asking for some 640-acre areas so that we can actually drill wells and monitor the production and run the economics to see if this is going to help us make them more economic. When I show you the economics for the Strom and the Norris Dog wells, both of these wells are going to give us negative economics for the well costs that were involved with them. So to develop the play, we've got to come up with ways of lowering our cost and increasing our production. And one of the ways appears to doing that is to go to a smaller spacing unit, because when we measured the individual production rates on each lateral after frack and then commingled them, the rates were not additive. Somewhere we didn't get the exact rates from each lateral when we commingled. We don't know what happened, but it's been consistent with every well we've done like this. So what we're going to do is evaluate the economics on a single 640 and see if that meets our economic hurdles.
Okay, let's go to the next case, the temporary spacing matter for the Strom well, Exhibit 18. Why don't you describe Exhibit 18 for us, please?
Exhibit 18 shows the dual lateral configuration from the surveys on each lateral drilled for the Strom in sections 25 and 36 of 163 North, 99 West.
Okay, and Exhibit 19?
Exhibit 19 shows the wellbore schematic where the 7-inch casing is and where the window is cut in the 7-inch for the second lateral. And it also summarizes all the casing and tubing strings that are currently in the well.
And Exhibit 20?
Exhibit 20 is the actual daily production of our pre-frack, post-frack test on the individual laterals and the commingled well. The last production you see in the green there, let's see, around about January, December 23rd is when we commingled the well, so that production right there is what we use to calculate the EUR and the economics for this well.
All right, and then let's go to the next exhibit, Exhibit 21. Tell us what that is. Just highlight what's contained on
right.
The exhibit.
Exhibit 21, again, summarizes the reservoir properties that we have actually measured on this well and the economics for this well. And what I'll point out is at the bottom there, you'll see that our net present value from this well is going to be a negative $2 million. And we're predicting at the current producing rates that with a well cost of $6 million that it costs us to drill and complete, we're going to lose $2 million on this well alone.
Okay, and then Exhibit 22.
Exhibit 22 is the volumetric original oil in place calculation for this well. Again, our actual gas oil ratio, or our actual gas gravity that we measured from tests, our actual bottom hole pressure, reservoir pressure, porosity, water saturations. So our best guess is in this 1,280-acre unit, there's about 2.2 million barrels in place. We're going to recover about 10% or 216,000 barrels of oil.
Okay, and Exhibit 23?
23 is the actual daily commingled production from the Strom well and the decline that we put through that to calculate our EUR and run the economics for this well.
And Exhibit 24.
Exhibit 24 is a compilation of all the Bakken wells in North Dakota that have some sort of horizontal lateral that have been drilled since 2004, and the wells that have a sufficient data, decline curve analysis hasn't been performed, and this plot shows 30-day average production in barrels of oil per day on the x-axis, and estimated decline curve EUR on the y-axis. We've been using this curve to estimate EURs from our wells when we have insufficient production to physically draw a decline through them ourselves. So you can see, for example, that if I have a well with a 30-day average IP of 200 barrels a day, my predicted EUR would be about 225,000 barrels over a 30-year period. So based on how much you spend on the well, you can run economics and see if that meets your economic hurdle rates.
All right, and then, Eric, what I'm going to have you do is just quickly discuss Exhibits 25, 26, okay. 27, and 28.
25 is a gas analysis from the actual Strom well. 26 is the oil analysis from the Strom well. 27 is the oil distillation analysis from the Strom well. And then 28 is the water analysis of the produced water from the Strom well.
And now let's switch gears again, Eric, and begin discussing the exhibits with respect to the temporary spacing for the Norstog well. Let's turn to Exhibit 29. Tell us what that is.
29 basically shows the actual well trajectories from the surveys in both sections 14 and 23 of 161 North, 98 West for the Norstog well.
And Exhibit 30?
Exhibit 30 shows the wellbore diagram where the window was cut for the second lateral and outlines casing specifications and tubing and pumping and downhole equipment that are currently in the well.
And Exhibit 31.
31 is the actual daily production of the pre-frack and post-frack tests for the Norstog. The well was commingled back in the end of December, and those last production points were what was used to determine the EUR for the Norstog well.
And Exhibit 32.
I knew what you meant.
Okay, thank you.
Again, the actual reservoir properties that we measured on the physical well are in the top section. The bottom section are the economics. Notice that we spent $8 million drilling and testing this well. And based on the predicted reserves of 126,000 barrels, we're going to have a negative present value of $6 million over the next 30 years.
And Exhibit 33?
33 was used to calculate the original oil in place. Again, this well is completed in the Banff sand, so that the properties are slightly different than the Strom. And you'll notice that the water saturation is higher, and this was physically measured from logs and core data. The porosity, again, the same. Our thickness is only 10 feet. That gives us only about 1.3 million barrels in place in this 1,280-acre area. Using a 10% recovery factor, we predict that we will recover about 125,000 barrels of oil.
Okay, and Exhibit 34.
Exhibit 34 is, again, the decline curve of the commingled daily data from the Norstog well and the decline that was used to calculate the EUR and run the economics.
And then, as you did previously, I'll have you quickly discuss Exhibits 35, 36, 37, and 38.
Yes. Exhibit 35 is a gas analysis from the produced gas from the Norstog. Exhibit 36 is an oil analysis of the produced oil from the Norstog. Exhibit 37 is the oil distillation report from the produced oil from the Norstog. And finally, Exhibit 38 is the analysis of the produced water from the Norstog.
And then, Eric, just to briefly summarize, with respect to case 9344, where the request is to change the 1,280-acre drilling unit to two 640-acre drilling units, do you believe the horizontal drilling technique can be successfully utilized in Section 15 and 22?
Yes.
And if it is successfully utilized, in your opinion, is it going to increase the ultimate recovery of the pool?
Yes, it will.
And in that respect, will it prevent waste, protect relative rights, and prevent the drilling of unnecessary wells?
Yes.
And with respect to case 9192, where you're requesting a zone of 1,280-acre spacing, temporary spacing for the Strom well, and then a second zone allowing wells to be drilled on a pattern of 640 acre spacing. In your opinion, will such a spacing pattern prevent waste, protect relative rights, and prevent the drilling of unnecessary wells?
Yes.
And is that also your opinion with respect to case 9047, the spacing pattern that you're recommending of two zones, one zone of 1,280 acre spacing and the other zone of 640 acres?
Yes.
Mr. Examiner, that's all the questions I have for the engineering witness. At this time, we would offer exhibits 1 through 38.
Exhibits are received. Questions for the engineer?
Eric, this is Bruce Hicks. Looking at your exhibit 20 on the Strom well, you're showing that you tested these wells.
I didn't hear that.
Eric, I'm looking at exhibit 20.
Okay.
And you indicate that you've tested those laterals separately.
That is correct.
Our well file indicates that only lateral 2 is open, and I assume that both laterals are now commingled.
Both laterals have been commingled since 12-23-06.
Could we get you to send in a sundry notice just indicating that both laterals are now open on that well?
Yeah, I can do that. No problem.
Okay. Thank you. The other thing I had was on your Nordstog, the water saturation, you're indicating that it's at 58%.
That is correct.
And we haven't seen too many operators deviate from about a 75% oil saturation.
I know.
And we were just curious if this is an anomaly up here or what you're looking at.
Well, I don't know where the other operators got their water saturation numbers. We had two sources. We had open hole logs, and then we had a core that we drilled with oil and physically measured the water saturation in the core. We had water saturations as high as 90% out of the core.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Eric, this is Mark Bohr. I was looking at exhibits 18 and 29 for the Strom and the Nordstog wells.
18 and 29, okay, yes.
And you depict, you said that these traces of the well path are the actual surveys?
Yes.
And I noticed
they're different.
That the bottom hole location for all four laterals is exactly 700 feet out of the corner?
Yes.
Do you believe that's true?
Yes.
Okay.
How we got there isn't the same, but yeah, that's exactly what the survey told us.
Okay. And then on exhibits 22 and 33, your percent recovery is listed at 0%. Is that supposed to be 10%?
Okay, which exhibit again, please?
22.
Oh, that. Look at the percent recovery. Look at the left-hand column. It says 10%.
Okay.
That percent, this is the spreadsheet that we use, and you can physically force it to put in a percentage, or you can have it calculated for you. So the percentage that has zero before the oil in place at 2,167,000 barrels, the percent recovery zero below that is something that I would input if I want to force a recovery factor, or I let it calculate it for me.
Okay, thank you.
Anything further on these cases?
I have nothing further.
That concludes the hearing in cases 9344, 9192, and 9047.